Hello, my friend. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood, and I'd like to welcome you to our... We hope you enjoy the praise and worship and are encouraged and challenged by his words and the message to follow. Please send us an email and let us know how you've been blessed. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. And now let's join the service already in progress. Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, and I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood. I'd like to welcome you to Zion Baptist Church, and we'd also like to welcome our internet listening audience, and we're so glad that you decided to tune in again and join us. If you're here visiting with us, to your left and through that doorway, down the stairs, you'll find a water fountain. Straight through that doorway back, you'll find a restroom and the nursery. So if you have any of these facilities at any time during the service, please feel free to do so.
Okay, if you will, this morning, let's get a hymnal and turn to page 94. Page 94. And on this, we'll do the first and the second verse of this song 94. We thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come and worship you this morning. God, we just ask that each thing that is said and done today would bring honor and glory to you. We thank you for so many blessings that you've given us, for times together, and for this day that you've given us together here. Father, we pray that you would just be with each one that's here. And if there's any needs or any thing that anybody needs to respond to, Father, that they would be open and to your calling today. Just ask that you just go with us now and thank you and praise you and ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Page 95.
Shepherd.
noticed we went down and seen the lights at Camp Jordan last night, and it was a pretty neat thing. One thing that was kind of neat, though, is that amid all the flashing and the bouncing lights and everything going, you come across the one spot, and there was just a little manger that was just lit up with a solid light. And you stop and think about it. Christ came into this world in a lowly state. And still yet, amid all the flash and the glamour, He's just the same. You know, a lot of times we want to make a big thing out of it when Christ is just as humble and simple, and He's only interested in one thing, and that's our souls. And when you stop and you take that time out in this time of year, remember that. Because sometimes it's the simple things that means the most. Whether it's just telling somebody you love them, hugging them around the neck, or just telling them how much God loves them. And as we share this is going to be one of the songs out of our Christmas music this morning, but we've done it several times. Hope you get a blessing out of it. But we'll never see a light that was as beautiful as the one that shone over Bethlehem that morning, announcing His birth. So I hope you get a blessing out of this. As the choir comes down this morning, if you would just take a few minutes, fellowship one with another, and be sure and say hello to any visitors. And if the children get ready for children's church, they'll meet right up here. Thank you.
time, we'll gather in the altar for our time of prayer.
Let's pray as we go through our prayer list. We have the lost and unchurched, Home and Foreign Missions, Hope Baptist Association, Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, Camp Agape, U.S. Military, Carl Saylor, Pap Rogers, Bo Bramlett and Family, Frankie Lewis, Frank and Tina Brannon, Jerry Rogers, Tom and Faye McCleary, Johnny Campbell, Kim Nelms, Elaine Witsky, Jerry Blackwell, Helen Wilcoxon, Bobby Anderson, Dylan Witt, Troy Cheek, Mary Bramlett, Jeanette Goforth, Faye Hicks, Donna Frazier, Joshua Cross, Carrie Pike, Christopher Cross, Opal and Randall Jones, Leslie Patrick, Mike Key, Isaac Morris, Donna Motes, Doug Jackson, Brenda Ray, Bruce Reimer, Taylor Reed, Sandra Barbie, JP and Lois Bates, Robert Hyde, Connie Presswood, Chris Nicole Noah Rogers, the USA, Amy Blankenship, Unspoken Request, and Tracy Trula. And we have the Dorothy Blackwell family, Billy Ann McCleary family, and the Faye Florence family. Let's pray. Our Father, we just know how great you are and how you're able and willing to answer prayer. We just pray that you'd be with each one that's on our prayer list. Just be with our pastor as he stands before us today. All of this we ask in your name. Amen.
You believe that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Okay. I have a gift under the tree up here, but it's a different kind of gift than we're used to getting, because the gifts we get to take home with us and keep. Someone gives us, but this is a gift that you give to. It's our Lottie Moon offering box, and it's under the tree, and there's a slot in the top, so if you have any loose change, dollar bills, five, tens, it don't matter. We'll take whatever you got, stick it in the box, and that'll be our gift. Or if you'd like to take an envelope and write a check, well, that'll be great too, because we cannot outgive God who has given to us so abundantly. And that's what our missionaries believe. That's why they're on the field. That's why they're there giving their life in service to the people. Whether it's 6 million people in Africa, whether it's the more than 3 million people in other areas of the country, or the 28 million just in Mexico City that our missionary there is ministering to. God is still providing, God is still blessing, and we can't outgive God. So remember that as you pray and as you give to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
Water would cleanse them from their sins. When they in South Asia, and we have been visiting the Southern Baptist workers to hear what they are doing and how they were called to bring the message to the people of South Asia.
It blew me away. I'm sure other pastors can see how many churches that are being started as a result of this Southern Baptist workers just making a commitment, contacting and so on. And before you know it, these churches are multiplying all over South Asia. And we saw it over and over time again with the openness of the gospel. This time, people are working to help us complete. I believe the plan of God to bring you here to change South Asia.
I don't understand what time thinking about how I can encourage more people from my congregation to see if God is calling them to come to South Asia or maybe other parts of the world.
Where is a need? Most of all of our Christian workers out here in South Asia, all they need to ask for is prayer.
The Great Commission wasn't left to IMB. It actually wasn't left to a convention. It was left to disciples, individuals. And that's what we're called to do. Too many times we get so interested in our own kingdoms, but we got to look at the bigger picture. Again, this is one sacred effort. All of us coming together to impact the world, and we've got to get behind our workers and support them, because there are millions of lost people that if they don't hear the gospel, if they don't hear the name of Jesus Christ, they're going to be lost along the way to heaven. And so we're going to go back and make sure that we support our body room and give even more support for us just to get it to grow the church and the ministry, that this type of work can go on until the great trumpet sounds.
Ushers should come forward. We'll take up our morning offering.
Lord, we thank you for the day. Father, we thank you for letting us gather here. Lord, just help us and put it on our hearts, Lord, to give back a portion of what you give to us to further the kingdom. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
I was getting into that jivey tune before they left out. Anybody that was there at the carol sing the other night, you'll be glad to know that we are guaranteed by the best sound men that they are in the southeast Tennessee. Thank you, Hunter. I appreciate it more every day. At this time, I think Terry's got a special that she's going to share with us, and then after that, Brother Mike Hazel.
Chris, does it matter which mic?
No.
The name of this song is Born to Die. I sang it last year for Christmas. Pray for me as I sing, please.
Thank you.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, read this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Christmas season is upon us. Give me a little juice on this, honey. There you go. Test it. I don't know about you, but I'm still excited about it. I look forward to the celebration of the birth of God's only Son each and every year. And it just seems like it just keeps getting better and better with the advent of the family. And as the family grows, my personal family grows, just look forward to it. And it's good to see the excitement in the faces of the children. And we know what they're excited about. And it's good to see the excitement in the faces of the parents and the grandparents. We know what they're excited about. They get to see the excitement of the kids when they give them their gifts on Christmas morning, and looking forward to that. I want to speak to you this morning about the greatest gift, the perfect gift ever given to mankind. And we also want to take this opportunity to welcome our internet listening audience. There was a little preview on the announcement slide before Sunday school and before the worship service this morning. And this past week, we had over 10 different countries that had hit on the website. And we're very excited that our friends have joined us, and especially our friends from India. And Dr. Raja, we want to welcome him and his group. And we're so glad that you decided to join us again in worship. And isn't technology marvelous, especially when it works the way that it's supposed to? And but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let me give you a little order, a little background to put it in context. In chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality," or their giving. And it speaks about giving, and that's what we're talking about this morning, giving, and not only giving, but giving the greatest gift. So in chapter 8, Paul begins to talk about the great giving ability of the church of Macedonia. Then in verse 9, as he's writing to the church of Corinth, in verse 1 he says, "It's superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and that your zeal has stirred them up." And so in chapter 9 he talks about the church of Corinth's gift that they are planning to take up. And Paul encourages them to go ahead, take up the offering, take up the collection, so that when I get there, we need not take the time to take up that collection. We'll be able to take it back to the mother church, so to speak, and we'll be able to administer it to the other churches, to the other saints, to the other individuals. And so oftentimes when we say churches, we think of a building with a steeple, but those sitting inside the building with a steeple is the actual church. And in order to perpetuate the gospel, you have to support those. And minister to people, you have to support those. And so in chapter 8 and 9, we see the gifts of giving in the hearts of the people that had a mind to give, which goes back to Acts chapter 2, that said, "When everyone was filled with the Spirit, they thought not of the things of their own, but they were willing to freely give of all that they had possessed in order to meet the needs of everyone that was around." And that's the essence of the Christmas season. That's what Christmas is all about, is a changed heart. And a heart that looks at the needs of others as opposed to your own needs. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul wraps up the last part of chapter 9, which it's all one letter, by the way. But he wraps up that thought in chapter 9 with this verse 15, with the supreme gift that was given with the most pure intent in the heart, which was given by God Himself in the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Thanks be unto the Lord for His indescribable gift. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we just come to You this morning. Father, we give You thanks for Your Word. And Father, here we are with this season that is upon us again. And every morning we ask and we call out to the body of Christ, did anyone have a birthday this week? And we sing happy birthday to them, and we come and we bring a gift to the altar, saying thanks for this life, this other 365 days that we've been given by You. And Father, we're getting ready to celebrate, even though we don't know exactly which day that it was on, but we've set December the 25th aside as a day to celebrate the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and in fact, that You became a man and was born in a manger. And Father, help us to realize that that is the greatest gift. And that is exactly what December 25th is to be about. Not only on that day, but every day. is a day that we can receive this gift, which is the greatest gift of all time. And in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. I was just doing a little research about this. Let me do a little research on my own. How many people are done with their Christmas shopping? Raise your hand. My Lord, it seems like Polk County's a bunch of procrastinators, don't it? That's exactly what it is. How many's halfway done with their Christmas shopping? Okay, now for the men, how many haven't even started your Christmas shopping? There you go. Some of you just ain't telling the truth. But, you know, that's the way it is. I heard just the other day a statistic that the average American is going to spend $861 per person this year in the celebration of the birth of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. 90% of all Americans, and that is Christians and, of course, the Jews are celebrating Hanukkah. And so we'll just say they use this called the winter season, gift-giving season. 90% of all Americans will participate. And this year, as hard as things are in the economy and everywhere else, $602 billion will be spent. $602 billion will be spent in about 45 days. That's astounding to me, just exactly how much that is. And I'm not knocking it one way or the other, but that's just astounding. Here we are in the middle of a recession, or coming out of a recession, according to which political view that you have, and hard as things are. But it's just amazing what, I think tradition has a lot to do with it, but it's amazing that probably maybe what love will do when you desire to give a gift to someone you love, that you just try to make ends meet. But I also noticed that it said probably 80% of those who are buying Christmas this year will charge it. And they'll spend this coming October in paying that off, when they spend an extra 15 to 17% of what the original tag was, time they pay their credit card interest on it. But the point of it is, this is that for those that you love, you'll tend to do anything no matter what the cost. Would that be a fair statement? I'm reminded of a story once of a small boy who was writing a letter to God about Christmas and about Christmas presents that he wanted real badly. You ever remember doing that? I remember being in school and we had to write letters. And it wasn't to God, but it was to somebody else about what we wanted for Christmas. And so this little boy was writing a letter to God about the Christmas present he wanted so badly. And he wrote down, he said, "I've been good for 6 months in a row." And he stopped and thought about it a little bit. He crossed out 6 months and he wrote 3 months. He went to write on and he stopped and thought about that a little bit. And he said, that's not right. So he crossed out the 3 months and he put down 2 weeks. He thought a little bit more and he paused and he crossed out the 2 weeks and he put 1 week. Got ready to continue writing and he thought about that a little bit more. And so he got up and he went over by the fireplace and there was a little crib scene, had the figures of Mary and Joseph. He picked up the figure of Mary and he went back to his writing paper and he started out again. "Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again." That's probably the approach most of us would have to take right there. I think of this season, which is so exciting, and man has learned all that he knows about giving from God. You realize that all the love that you have comes from no other source other than from God. The ability to give the gifts in which you will be purchasing comes from no other than from God. The whole thing about Christmas comes from no other source other than from God. And man has learned all that he knows about giving from God. And God is in the giving business. And just jotted down a few things about what God gave. God gave Adam and Eve a piece of skin from an innocent animal to replace the fig leaves and cover their shame and to cover their nakedness in the Garden of Eden. You see, Christmas started way early. God gave Noah the plan for the ark that would provide for the saving of his household when judgment came, thus delivering his family and saving his family. God gave Sarah a precious miracle child in her old age, and the name was to be Isaac. God gave the Israelites possessions of the land flowing with milk and honey. God gave the prophets the knowledge to plead with his people and tell them of the amazing things to come and to be saved from those generations. God gave the scripture the prophecy of a Messiah who would come and deliver to save those who would believe on Him and call upon His name. God gave the shepherds a pronouncement by the angels that Jesus was born. He gave the wise men a star to lead them to the young child with their gifts. And He gave Joseph the patience to understand the strange circumstances of a virgin being pregnant with a child. God gave the world the Prince of Peace. God gave Jesus the place of sinners on the cross to bear the sorrow of shame, and Jesus gave His life for sinners. And God offers to give all men the pardon for their sins that they might know the joy of everlasting life. Surely, surely, God is the greatest of givers. No doubt about it. Mankind can learn a lot about giving from Him. And John tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Jesus told the woman at the well, "If thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of Him and He would have given you living waters." In Romans 8:32, Paul says, "He spared not His own Son, and shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" In Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the what? Gift of God." In 2 Corinthians 9:15, in which we read, Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." So this morning, I want to help you with your Christmas shopping, and I want to talk to you about God's great Christmas gift to us. And if you're looking for the perfect gift for that somebody special, there's several things, I believe five things, that I want to share with you this morning that I believe that you need to be very careful about when you're looking out your Christmas gifts. Five adjectives you might use as you pick out your Christmas gifts that might describe them, so help you understand what you might be able to give someone that you know. And one of the first things I'd like for you to understand is that the gift that you give needs to be a personal gift. Isn't that what it's all about? When we're out thinking about Christmas shopping and you look at that gift, you want it to be a personal gift. We're not shopping for ourselves when we go shopping. When I go to Walmart, first thing I do when I go into Walmart, regardless of which Walmart it is, I go to the hunting section, or I go to the electronics, or I go to the automotive section. That's where I go. But my wife, she wouldn't appreciate that if I went into the hunting section and I brought her a new pack of broadheads. If you don't know, ladies, that's what goes on the end of an arrow that you use to shoot a deer with. That's a broadhead. She wouldn't appreciate that. Or if I bought her a new box of bullets for a 7mm Magnum or something like that, she wouldn't appreciate that at all. That wouldn't be a personal gift for her. Matter of fact, it doesn't even interest her. When she goes to Walmart, she goes into where the clothes section is or things of that nature, or to the ladies section or whatever it might be, to the things that interest her. So you got to understand, when you buy that person that you're shopping for, what you're looking for is a personal gift. A gift that fits the person you're shopping for. If you understand that, shake your head like this. If you're a thoughtful person, when you go, you got to think, what would they like? That's what I'm shopping for. Well, the good news is that God gave a personal gift by giving His Son to die on the cross for you and I. We read John 3:16 just a second ago. And the Bible tells us that He came for everyone. He came for you and He came for me. He just didn't come for the rich. He just didn't come for the poor. He just didn't come for the white people or for the black people. He just didn't come from the people of the United States. He came for everyone, for whosoever will. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You remember singing that song? The gift of God's Son was for you, and He came and died for you personally. When He came to this earth, He became human, and He didn't have to. He was God. And when He lived here on this earth, He was completely human. In other words, He felt heartache. He felt loneliness. He was tempted, the Bible says. He longed for companionship. He felt hunger. He knew what it was like to be tempted, and the Bible says, in all aspects, just as you and I do in the flesh. So oftentimes we don't like to think about Jesus as human, and we don't like to think about God being hungry or God being tempted by the flesh. It almost seems sacrilegious, but yet the Scripture says that He was. And He was completely human. And that tells us that the nails hurt His hands just like they would wound your hands or my hands. He was completely human. He did what He did on the cross because He looked through time and He saw you and I here today. In 2014... He saw your heart. He saw that you and I needed a Savior. And so He decided to give us the greatest personal gift of all time. He gave Himself. Now that's a personal gift. And I say there's nothing greater that you can give someone than the gift of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, there's nothing greater that you can give someone than yourself. Give each other your time and your attention, your love and your affection. It was a great thing. We had, best I could count, and we had some turn up to eat in Etowah after we got there. Is that Etowah? Etowah. I get Etowah and Etowah and all this all mixed up, but Etowah is down this way, isn't it? And when we got there at the Western Sizzling, lo and behold, Wilson and Miss Judy and some of the others showed up there. So best I could say, around 52 or 53 went to see the lights last night. But what I particularly liked when we sat down to have the meal is to see the different families that were there. And I'm so proud of the different husbands and the wives that were there together. A lot of times the guys just shrug that off, you know, and they won't go. And it's so great to see the husband and the wives coming together, because the reality of it is probably most of the men wouldn't have cared to have been there. But because their wives and children were going, they were there. Now, there's some guys like looking at lights. Don't get me wrong. But I looked at it, I thought, you know what? There's not a greater sight to see than the family unit being together. That's the strength of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I commend all you fellas that went and looked at the lights last night. And some of you ladies that went and looked at the lights. And all of you that wrestled with your children while you were looking at the lights. And giving yourself one to another. That's one of the greatest gifts. Something else about a gift you want to understand is you want to give a practical gift. Something that somebody can use. When we go Christmas shopping for those we love, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be the best or the most expensive gift, as that old saying goes, and I know you've heard this, it's the thought that counts. You ever heard that? Say amen. I don't think they heard you in India. If you've heard that, say amen. All right. Y'all forget people listening to y'all. Our gift should be practical. Not as one lady said to her husband, this year let's give each other more practical gifts. Like socks and fur coats. Some of you will get that tomorrow when you wake up. Two young boys were discussing the upcoming Christmas season and all of the toys that they hoped to receive. And one of the kids explained to the other, he said, you know what? He said, money can't buy happiness, you know. To be happy, you have to convert the money to toys. You know what it's like to get a gift you really don't want or you really can't use? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or say amen, but probably most of you down the line have got something along those lines. You see them in stores all over. All of us have got them. The stores are full of junk gifts. We call them stocking stuffers. And the kind of stuff you buy because you don't know what to buy. And like a life-size, you remember that life-size deer that would hang on your wall and you'd walk by him and he'd start singing to you? Or Bubba the catfish or something like that. You'd walk by him and that little rubber fish would start singing to you. Stupid stuff that you really can't use. You're sure not going to put it up where company can see it when they come in, but you get it anyway. And nowadays those things cost over $150 to put on there. I just didn't have the cash in my pocket than a rubber talking deer head. How many of you like fruitcakes? Well, I can't tell the next joke. I got to go on. Jesus has given us the most practical gift of all. And that's eternal life. That's eternal life for those who turn to Him. Romans 2:7 says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. Romans 2:7. It's something that we all need. It's something that we all have to have. Without it, we die and go to hell. With it, we live eternally. How much more practical can you get with that? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. And not to be morbid on this Christmas season, but everyone in here is going to cease to exist unless Christ comes back first. We're going to cease to exist, so everyone needs eternal life. There's not an exception. Everybody that you meet this week coming up, everybody needs eternal life. No matter what their station in life, how much money they have or don't have, what color their skin or the lack of color they have in their skin, whatever it might be, everyone needs eternal life. You say, well, how do you know? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever sinned? Have you ever missed the mark? Have you ever transgressed God's laws? Have you ever fallen short of the good that you ought to do? Do you have sin? Sure. Then there's no gift that you could ever need more than the gift of eternal life. That's a gift that just keeps on giving. So buy a practical gift and remember that Jesus gave us the best gift anyone could ever receive. And then something else you might want to take note of, and that's to give a pleasing gift. Give a pleasing gift. The gifts that we should give should be something that would please the one we're giving the gift to. I wouldn't want to give my wife a rifle for Christmas because I know that gift wouldn't please her. It might tickle me pink and I could use it when she wasn't using it, but that don't work. I say, honey, wouldn't you like an AR-15 for Christmas? And that stuff like that don't work. We all know what happens when we give gifts that people don't really like. You know what? What happens when you give somebody a gift that they don't really like? Well, they put it on a shelf somewhere and it collects dust, or they put it away in a closet, or since there was only one or two hands, the fruitcake that you get, most times a dog ends up eating it, if it can eat it. Now, I'm not talking about a homemade fruitcake. I'm talking about one of them bricks you get at a store somewhere, you know, and put down something. I had a good joke with that, but I had compassion for Chris. So I didn't want to share it. He was the only one that raised his hand. You think of this, and not only that, then, what happens the day after Christmas? Huh?
Return the dump.
Or you talk about Black Friday. That's the returns day when you go back. So what does that mean? That means a lot of people got gifts that weren't pleasing and weren't practical or weren't personal to them. So they go and they take those gifts back and they put the what? Money in their pocket. I can tell you this morning that there's no greater gift that's ever been given than the gift of Jesus Christ. He gave us a pleasing gift that we could never ask for anything any greater. He gave us the gift of His Son. Think about that. Now, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and that through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." And did you catch that? The first part of that verse in verse 19? "For it was the Father's good pleasure." You see, a pleasing gift, first of all, starts with what pleases God. And it pleased God to give His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, to carry that a little bit further, I also believe that once we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that it should be pleasing unto us. That it should be, and I can't tell you, and I use this analogy all the time just because it sticks with me, but most of the time when you look at Christian people, they look like they've been baptized in vinegar and chewing on concrete. Even while I'm preaching this morning, they look like there's some that could either nod off, or they want to take a baseball bat and go upside my head, or whatever it might be, unless I'm telling a joke or something. But it doesn't really look like they're enthusiastic about hearing the Word of God, or even celebrating Christmas. When we were at the choir singing, and we heard some marvelous choir the other night. Done a great job. We done a fantastic job. Zion Baptist Church did really done a fantastic job. But the whole time, I noticed there was something, and this is just not everyone, but overall, collectively, I said, I wish people, when they were singing, they would smile.
Yeah.
I wish they would smile. We're singing about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And even when I'm preaching, unless I'm preaching about hell, it don't make much sense to preach about hell and smile. But when I'm preaching, I like to at least have a smile every now and then, because there's something inside of me that I believe Jesus smiled a lot. Let me just put it to you like that. Because He had the good news, the hope of glory within Himself. He was God in the flesh, and He knew that He was going to redeem you and I. And it pleased the Father. And everything that Jesus did, it pleased the Father. And in giving His Son, Jesus Christ, and us being born again, it pleases our Heavenly Father. And I believe it pleases you and I. It's just like honeycomb to your soul. I believe there's something, and I believe if other people who weren't saved, when they look at us, and all they know to do is look at us in the flesh, they don't know all of this theology, they don't know all this scripture, but when they look at us, there needs to be something about us that they want to have, something about us that they want to emulate. And I believe one thing that everybody's looking for is joy. If they were not so, the amusement parks would shut out. You understand what amusement means? It means to let your mind go idle. That's a part of amusement, is you get all your problems and your worries off your mind, and you try to do something that your mind can focus on that's not the substance of making a living or something like that, or all your problems that you got. And to amuse means to let your mind go idle. It's kind of like watching TV. You just going through, you know. Because people are looking for joy. People are looking for joy. They're looking for something. Now, they don't know how to get it because they look for it in all those other things that we have. And I've been to them, amusement parks. And then there's other things like alcohol and drugs and relationships and all of that. And they try all these other things, but deep down inside, they don't have that joy. They don't have that pleasing gift that pleases the Heavenly Father. When God's happy, everybody will be happy. When God's not happy, nobody can be happy. This is that pleasing gift. What more can we ask for? You know, we don't need all of the stuff that comes for Christmas. You don't need all that stuff that you've got on your Christmas list. The only real need any of us have is salvation. That's the greatest need that we have, and Jesus Christ has provided it. And I can tell you that He has satisfied the deep longing of my heart. I sat down and my wife asked me the other day, she said, you know, and I'm just telling you the sincere truth. She said, what do you want for Christmas? And really, I just sat there and thought, and I really didn't have anything that I wanted. Now, I got things that I put. When I sat there for that moment, I just sat there and I thought, it crossed my mind, I don't need anything. And why should I go out and buy something just because it's a traditional day of the year? And why would I have her do something like that for me? Now, this is just me personally. But I thought about that and I rejoiced over that. And I said, thank you, Lord, because I don't need anything. And I really don't have anything that I could want that I don't already have that you haven't already fulfilled. And not only in the material possessions, but in my spiritual life, you've given me a wonderful wife, a glorious helpmate. And you've given me a wonderful family. And you've given me a wonderful church home. What more could I want? Why? Why would I ask? That reminds me of that song Miss Faith sings. He doesn't owe me anything. And one of my greatest, I read a joke before and I said it again, but I told her, I said, and I told my kids this and they can tell you the same. I said, it isn't my birthday. It's his. And I try to keep myself focused. Now, don't leave this morning saying, well, Brother Mike's against Christmas presents. No, I'm not against Christmas presents. I'm just telling you personally, Jesus Christ is the most pleasing gift. And when you got him, he'll put everything else in order in your life. Let me ask you. You say, what do you mean by order? Is your sin problem under control? Is lust under control? Are your finances under control? You see, when you're pleased with the Heavenly Father, He'll bring everything else under control. He'll bring your finances under control. He'll bring your debt problem under control. He'll bring your spending problem under control. He'll bring all this under control because He'll kill all of that consumption and lust of consumption and covetousness and all that in your heart. And so what I'm saying is when you learn to be satisfied with Jesus, you'll learn to be satisfied with what Christ has given you. But that's a story for another time. Jesus Christ is the greatest example when it comes to giving pleasing gifts. And He is the pleasing gifts. Now, something else about a gift needs to be a permanent gift. You say, well, what are you talking about? The gifts that we should give should be something that's permanent and that should have a lasting value. Not something that's cheaply made or is going to break the first day that you take it out and the first day that you use it. Say, did you hear about the guy who bought his wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas? A friend of his said, you know what? I thought your wife wanted one of those sporty new four-wheel drive Jeeps. And he said, she did. But where am I going to find a fake Jeep? Now the wheels are turning, aren't they, like that? And some of you are thinking, I got to go take this thing back before Christmas. It should be something that'll last and keep the interest far beyond Christmas Day alone. I don't know about you, but it always amazed me before when the kids were growing up that you would buy a nice gift of some sort and they would open it up and play with it for about 2 or 3 minutes. Next thing you know, then they're playing with the box that it came in. And I tell Renee, well, next time we just need to get a bunch of different size boxes and things like that and let them go to town on it. Our gift should be permanent. You see, because what God gave us was a permanent gift through Jesus Christ. That gift of eternal life. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You can hang your hat on that verse right there, buddy. As a matter of fact, in case you don't know, that's what makes Southern Baptist and Southern Baptist theology different from any other mainline Christian denomination, is the security of the believer. The total and complete faith that we put in the works of Jesus Christ on the cross for sins past, sins present, and sins future. Then in Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. There's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. Nothing I can do to retain my salvation. Nothing I can do to sustain my salvation. It's all by faith and putting my faith on Jesus Christ and His finished work. And it is a permanent gift. When your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is a permanent gift. Now because of that, Paul says, should I continue to sin so that grace may more abound? He said, God forbid, may it be so. And I like telling people this all the time. They say, you Baptists believe that once you're saved, you're always saved, and yet you go out and you live like hell. And I said, I'll agree with you. Probably about 80% of Baptists do that. But I said, just because somebody comes through the door of a Baptist church doesn't make them a Christian. Just because a mouse is in a cookie jar doesn't make it a cookie, does it? I said, let me tell you what makes you a Christian. It's not the Baptist faith. It's not the Baptist denomination. It's not the baptistry. It's not the water. I said, it's regeneration of the Holy Spirit in someone's life after they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, He changes your desires. You see, people who say that I'm saved, I'm always saved, I'm always going to be saved because Brother Joe Blow baptized me 23 years ago. I got a certificate in my Bible. I know that I'm saved because my mom and daddy told me I'm saved. But then they continue to go out and live like the rest of the world. They're not saved. Because somebody that's been saved has been regenerated and the power of the Holy Spirit resides inside of them. That perfect, personal, permanent gift resides inside of them and it changes their desires. I don't know. The best way I can explain it to you, when I was single, I ran around like a single man. But when I put a ring on Renee's finger and I said, I do, I suddenly didn't want to do what I used to do. Did you catch that? My desires had changed. I no longer had a desire to go around and look and leer and chase after other ladies. That desire was, I can't tell you how it happened. I didn't make my mind up to do it. It's just that I fell so much in love with Renee, and I'm still in so much love with Renee, that's what keeps me straight. It's not a ring or a piece of paper. This cannot stop me from being unfaithful to my wife. But what's inside of me and my heart keeps me on the straight and narrow. And when you've been born again and you've fallen in love with Jesus Christ and you're walking with Him in daily fellowship and in His Word and in His Spirit and in His prayer, that's what keeps you right side up. That's the permanent gift that keeps on giving. The gift should be something that at least keep the interest beyond Christmas Day alone. We've all seen children, as I said, get that nice present and they play with those boxes. We've all seen people that, and perhaps you're one of them, and you might know of some, that they have an experience. And let me tell you something, an experience does not equal salvation. They have an experience at church, or they have a goosebump at church, or we always like to say, if we saw someone walk the aisle and tears were streaming down their face, they must have got saved. And somewhere along the line, we've substituted tears for salvation. And they have an experience, but then a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks down the road, 6 months down the road, a year down the road, you're wondering what happened to them. What happened is they haven't met Jesus. Because Jesus is the gift that not only keeps on giving, but it changes our life. It changes that life for the good. It's a permanent gift. There's nothing we could really ask for that's any greater. So we got the personal, the practical, the pleasing, the permanent, and then the last is the purchased gift. Now that's very important. It's always a good idea to purchase your gift that you're going to buy and not just walk out of the store with it. Amen? Matter of fact, I pulled up here. I don't know what this thing is over here. Over here by Kathy's Country Corner Kitchen. What is that? The IGA or the Piggly Wiggly? Or what is that supermarket set right there? IGA. Walked up there the other day. And there was a lady over there that had a brand new pair of, what do you call those, bracelets on. They were silver. And they were joined together in the middle with a chain. And walked inside. My wife went in there to pick up something. She came back out and said, yeah, said that lady was shoplifting. That's what happens when you try to leave with something without paying for it. Make sure you pay for your gifts. Jesus, however, has already purchased the greatest gift of all for us. And that's salvation. Romans 5 and 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And again, James 1 and 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, who in Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ephesians 2 and 7 says, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Paul told, I believe it, Paul told one of the specific churches, he said, are you going to finish with works what was started by grace? And what they were doing is they had heard about the grace of Jesus Christ, which had saved and saves people, and they had some new people coming into the body of believers in the church, what we call it collectively to it, and some of the Jewish people that had been converted to the faith in Jesus Christ, they were wanting these new converts who came in who were Gentiles to be circumcised. They said, in order to become into the church, you have to be circumcised. Now, you can explain that to the children when you get on. But they said, in order to do this, you'll have to. And they wanted them to follow the Adriatic Covenant. And Paul heard about it, and it kind of upset him a little. And much so that he wrote him a letter, and he said, what are you doing? And it's not as much about the circumcision as it is about the theology, which is leading them to circumcise the new believers that were coming in. He said, are you going to finish with works what was started by grace, that purchased gift? There's nothing you can do to earn what Jesus has done for you. You see, that's the difference between a lot of people when they show their faithfulness to Christ and how they show their love to Christ. A lot of people believe that if they come to church regularly or if they give and they do this and that, that makes them a better Christian or that shows Christ they're doing. It has nothing to do with it. If you do anything that you do that's not from the seat of love, then it's all in vain. When I go home in the evening, it's not because I'm afraid my wife is going to, for lack of a better term, nag at me or be on top of me or rip me a new one or whatever you want to call it. When I go home at night and I don't pick my clothes up and put them in the dirty clothes or do laundry because I'm afraid she's going to get on me if I don't do that and so on and so forth. I do those type of things because I love her. I do those type of things because of what she has done for me. You know the number one thing she's done for me? She chose me. You guys need to go home and write that down on your refrigerator on your bathroom mirror and look at it every morning. Why I love my wife? Because she loves me. She chose me. She could have had anybody. When I mean Renee could have had anybody, she could have had. She was going to Washington Medical University, going to school with doctors and surgeons and everything else. And here I was, an electrician, HVAC worker. She could be living in a home worth millions of dollars instead of following some preacher around all over the country. You know what that does? That inspires me. It inspires me to give her the best that I can because she deserves it. Not because I'm afraid she's going to leave me if I don't. But she deserves it. She deserves the best husband there is on the face of the earth. And I'm sure if you'd ask her that when she came out of the nursery, let me take that back. I'll take that back. If she can hear me back there, baby, I'm talking about you. But transition that now over to your relationship with Christ. And because God chose us, and He died on the cross, and He paid it all, He paid a bill we could not pay, that should inspire us to live for Him the best we can, 100%. 100%. You go into the Benton Shooter Supply up here and you see all those guns, and you go back there, you come over to the archery department, and you talk to guys, and there's all different types of things there you can buy and put on your bow and arrow to make it more accurate. There's different things you can buy to put on your gun to make it more accurate. There's the newest, latest guns. And those guys who are really serious about hunting and everything, they want the best equipment they have where they can go out and do the job that they need them to do. I was talking with another young man the other day who was a mechanic, and he talked about all that he had put on his automobiles and on his stuff and all of this to make those things perform the best they could so that he could be a winner in everything that he did. And my friends, it's no different in our life for Jesus Christ. We need to do all that we can do and give all of our devotion to Him because of all that He's given to us. There was a pastor one time. I want to ask our pianist to come as we get ready to extend the invitation. There was a pastor one time that was at the end of the service, and a young girl came up with a little flower. She gave him that flower. He said, "Hun, what's this?" She said, "These are the first flowers that came up this spring. I picked them the other day. I want to give them to you." He said, "Why?" She said, "Because I love you. Because you talk about Jesus." And he looked at her and he said, "Well, hon, that's great." He said, "I thank you." And he said, "But I'll ask you this." He said, "What do you give Jesus?" And she said, "Oh, that's simple." She said, "I give Him myself." And for all that Christ has given us, the greatest thing that you can give Jesus Christ is yourself. Have you received God's greatest gift? Now, I know everybody in here, Christ.